Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. In this special bonus episode of the Raised with Jesus podcast, we have actually two interviews from the Wells Tech podcast, and I encourage you to check them out. It's a bi-weekly, is every other week podcast that is published by Pastor Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper, the two people who are kind of in charge of the technology side of our synod. And in this episode, we've got snippets from two episodes, snippets from an episode last year where I was interviewed by the Wells Tech podcast talking about digital side doors, and then just the episode from last week Wednesday, or this past Wednesday, where we talked again to talk about the Raised with Jesus podcast. So this is just the, you know, my interview part of it. First, the digital side doors, and then the discussion of podcasting. And I encourage you to look them up in your podcast app or check out the show notes, and you can find them there. And subscribe to the Wells Tech podcast. You know, it's about twice, every other week, where two really insightful people talk about ministry, talk about what's going on in the Wells, and talk about how we can use technology to reach more people with the gospel. Here we go.
Speaking of visiting churches, it's kind of related to our topic of the day. There are lots of ways that people come into churches, and there are lots of ways that churches and their members try to make their doors as wide open as possible to invite Wells folks and those who maybe don't know their Savior yet as well. We're calling them digital side doors, and
Yeah, we're calling them that, but actually Pastor Peter Hagen cloned that term for us, so that's where it came
from. That's right. I was just going to give him credit.
Okay.
Because we did have a chance. Well, we stumbled on, I think, this concept in Wells Intersections, or did he reach out directly to us, or both, probably?
It was kind of both.
Yeah.
There was a conversation in Wells Intersections, which is a Facebook group, and he kind of took it to the next step and reached out and said he thought this might be a good topic for discussion on Wells Tech.
Yep. And we've mentioned him in the past because of a podcast. And we talked a little bit about that podcast when we were interviewing him for, we're going to play here in just a minute, the Raised With Him podcast. Exceedingly well done. And it's important to kind of think of different avenues that the Lord has opened to different people with different gifts at different times. And that's kind of what my main takeaway from our interview. So before we give too much of it away, let's play the interview, and then we can come back and talk a little bit more about it.
Joining us on Wells Tech today is Pastor Peter Hagen. He is serving Resurrection Lutheran Church in Maumee, Ohio. And he's also the voice behind a daily podcast called Raised with Jesus from Resurrection. We're happy to have you, Pastor. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great. We would love to know a little bit more about you before we dive into the heavy, hard-hitting questions.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, I graduated Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary in 2011. And then served with Pastor Getzinger at St. Paul in Ottawa for 2 years. Because during my vicar year, I had met my wife, well, my now wife, Desiree, and immigration, long story. But long story somewhat shorter. Served for about 4.5 years in Fairmont, Minnesota, a lovely place, town of Five Lakes. And now here in Maumee, Ohio. We've been here for about 8 months. Have two little boys, Joel and Leland, and recently, soon after moving in, converted our garage into a school space because we're anticipating homeschooling our boys. And that's really the highlights, I suppose.
Awesome.
Very good. Well, the one of the reasons that your name may sound familiar, as Sally mentioned, is the Raised with Jesus podcast. Tell us a little bit more about that. That's a daily podcast that you've started. Tell us a little bit of the history and what kind of reaction you're getting to it.
Yeah, the whole podcast idea actually started back in 2015. One of our members back in Fairmont, his name was Andy Jacobson, and he's a plumber by trade. And working by himself for a lot of these days, he would just flip in his Bluetooth earpiece and kind of cruise through podcasts. And he's like, tell you what, why don't we start a podcast? Because he's like, you've got a Mac, all you need is a microphone, and then it's pretty much gravy from there. And I'm like, wow, well, we could do that. And did that for about a year and a half there in Fairmont. And I think at first I bit off more than I could chew because we were publishing about, 10 to 12 episodes a week, which was a little bit much. But then after getting the call here to Fairmont, I had discussed the concept with our leadership. And for me, it's really a theological thing that if you want to let God do his work, that means getting people into contact with the Word of God. And living in kind of a suburban area, I thought that the podcast idea would fit really well as people who are on the move, getting, 10 minutes every day with Life of Jesus meets theirs. And so Monday through Friday, we do a daily Bible reading of about 20 verses, a little bit of commentary. Saturday is usually a study Saturday where I get some audio from another source. And then Sunday morning is a Sunday morning preview. And it's been holding pretty steady with the number of downloads per day. Overall, the trend is in a good direction.
What kind of prep is necessary, time commitment, as other pastors are maybe thinking about getting into this area? What did that mean for you, and what does it mean now?
Well, back in Fairmont, we were hosting through our website on Squarespace, and that was about like a 10 to 12-step process between recording to finally uploading it. But now, having switched to Podbean, it's a little bit simpler. And then I just set up a template in GarageBand that uses a little bit of audio background, and then I read or say a little bit of an introduction each day. And the music is actually from Koinei, so they let me use it for free.
Nice.
Yeah, it really is. And then once I've got that template set up, then all it takes is a few minutes of looking at the text and making sure I've got the two or three points that I want to draw out. And it's about 25 minutes for recording, uploading, and then doing all the like and share thing on Facebook.
Excellent. So obviously digital avenues don't intimidate you. It's something that you've been able to master. It's reasonable to do. And podcasting is just one of something we might term digital side doors. Actually, you came up with that exact term and ways to reach people maybe through different media or different websites or whatever before they walk in your door, if they do so venture or whatever. Tell us what you're envisioning with that concept of digital side doors.
Yeah, and I think the best way to talk about that is in comparison to like a front door. So like your church's front door is your Sunday morning worship service, and maybe you include Bible class in there as well. Just opportunities where people walk through your doors for the purpose of hearing the Word of God. The idea of side doors is different ways that people come into contact with your church or with your congregation in other events or other avenues, like a VBS or a community cookout or something like that. But opportunities for your people to get in contact with the community, or opportunities for the community to come into your place. Like, if we're hosting another October seminar Saturday seminar, we're going to be inviting the community to hear about the topic of child safety. And that I kind of see as a side door where it's not expressly a sharing of the gospel, but it is part of the community awareness and inviting our church to, get to know some of the people that we have here and hopefully get a good turnout from our membership. But then side doors, we also have like a physical side door coming into a seminar or VBS, but then digital side doors would be everything else. Your presence on social media, your YouTube live streaming of worship services, QR codes that we put onto physical pamphlets, and even our presence on Instagram that we kind of put out on our sign out by the road, which is kind of funny, changing all these letters and a very manual sign. Mm-hmm. And kind of the big principle that we've got behind that is every physical includes a digital, and every digital includes a physical. And with a priority of moving toward that physical contact and eventually a walk through that front door. So we want to demonstrate that digital viewability, I suppose, in a physical way, so they can see our brochure and look us up on Instagram from the back of the brochure, or check out our YouTube channel. And they can also go to that YouTube channel and see live stream worship service. But the benefit there is that, you know, we've got kind of the glimpse of whatever you're scrolling through on Facebook or Instagram. That's kind of a short form, you know, just takes 5 seconds and then you keep on scrolling. But digital also allows for what I call kind of a long form content. That would be like a blog post, a podcast, a short YouTube video, like Darren Lindemann or Luke Italiano or Tom of Grace do. But those are opportunities for people to get to know what we do and what we're like, really, before they eventually, hopefully, make that step through the front door of a worship service.
So that's a great point. Obviously, there is a end game here. You want to make this two-way rather than one-way. Digital is at least initially one-way. What are some of your experiences or maybe suggestions, strategies for nurturing these relationships? It's ministry has, you know, you always have a lot of irons in the fire. You want to be a good steward of your time and resources. What have your experiences been and suggestions for kind of taking that next step to make those connections?
That's a really good question. I think the primary thing is that when we talk about digital side doors, it's kind of at the end of a longer chain of visibility and discussion. So a congregation or in any organization has to think about how they communicate and that everything that we do is part of that communication. Down to worship style, down to what we put on social media or what people tag us in. And so as a congregation, we have to be thinking, well, do we have a website and is it up to date and mobile friendly? Secondly, do we have a calendar that somebody can see on Google? Kind of the nuts and bolts of the physical side, you know, we talk about taking attendance and annual report, plan of ministry, all that stuff. But once those basics are in place, you know, good stewardship means let's work on these basics first. Once those basics are in place, then that digital presence really adds as much credibility as it is visibility. It's happened to me probably 3 times in the last month and a half where I'm meeting with a new couple that for some reason came into contact with our congregation. And I talked about, you know, the backside of our general, you know, pamphlet. And I said, well, you can check us out, follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram or Twitter, if anybody uses Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. Sorry, I think a few. And so they look at that and they kind of have a different look in their eye, like, oh, that's where I live. You know, I live on Facebook, Instagram. I'm familiar with that. And this church is there too. And it just lends that extra bit of credibility to say, well, maybe I will check you out there. And maybe you are just normal people kind of like me that are worth coming back to see again. So it's, I think a lot of it is a credibility as well as the visibility. Mm-hmm. And then when somebody does come through the door, then the goal is to get a textable phone number that we can follow up with them. And working on a project right now to hopefully get a few more of our NPH publications onto Audible. Talk with Mark Buskey about that a little bit. And the hope is that I'd be able to share a book to that person as part of the follow-up. An audiobook that they can listen to and get an extended exposure to what we believe and teach so that God can do his work even while they're driving down the road.
That's, as you were talking, a couple words came to mind, mindful and purposeful ministry, and you're kind of connecting the dots for a lot of these folks. And it's really not just all content you create, but pointing them in the direction of other content that can enrich them and, you know, introduce them to a deeper, you know, that deeper relationship that you hope they have with their Savior. That's got to be pretty rewarding to see that happen.
Yeah, it so far it has been. The time investment is actually pretty minimal once you do all the setup. And, you know, I set up a post for, you know, using Buffer, so I can do that right after I set up a podcast, and then I don't have to think about it again until the next day. And it really streamlines and seems like good stewardship, at least to me, with a priority on the spiritual. But at the same time, you know, Facebook could say, invite all your friends to like Resurrection Lutheran Church of Maumee, Ohio. frankly, I'm not all that concerned about having my mom like my like our Facebook page, right?
it wouldn't be a negative, but
you know. No, it wouldn't be a negative. But she's 5 or 6 hours away.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if we want to target our advertising at some point to those who like our page, she's not going to drive all this way to come to a worship service, and right. She already is a Wells member.
Right.
And so that's kind of the last part is hopefully connecting that digital presence and that digital content to a local congregation. To say, check us out at 9 a.m., 2250, address or whatever, and including in the show notes a Wells locator link so that you can find, where's a nearby Wells church. Because most of, we've got a large number of listeners from Ohio, a few listeners from Minnesota, of course, and then a surprisingly somewhat almost as large number of listeners from California is our experience. And to try and connect those people with Wisconsin Synod Church out there that teaches the same thing that you're hearing on a podcast is kind of the overall goal, I suppose.
Excellent. Any success stories that you'd care to share?
A little bit. Down in southern Minnesota, as far as digital front doors, southern Minnesota has had quite the bit of snowfall these past few weeks.
Yes.
And I did get a couple of different texts from former members down there who had tuned into our live stream and attended church that way because they literally couldn't get out of their driveways. And the only way that they knew about it was through the podcast. Wonderful comments. And just to say, it was really nice to worship with you today because we couldn't gather for worship here. We do have a baptism coming up this Sunday for one of those, the child of one of those couples that I had mentioned earlier. And I'll be following up with them to hopefully say, well, give us a second look. And you don't even have to come to a class right now to give us a second look, but subscribe and make this part of your everyday routine. But that, the success story side of it, still kind of figuring this out for myself, how the technology all works together and what's the simplest and easiest way to make it all happen and to stitch it all together. So in a sense, it's still a work in progress.
Guessing it will always be a work in progress. That's what ministry is about, is continuing to refine. It sounds like you're going down a good path.
Yeah, we try. And and I mean that concept of fellowship that we have here, and not just plugging in through the podcast or through a video, but also coming and sharing in the fellowship here has been one of our selling features, selling points, when we're talking to people who maybe don't have that sort of unity of doctrine, or they've experienced, divisions in the church and what do I actually believe. Mm-hmm. But to have a church, as our Wisconsin Synod churches are, founded on the Word of God and sharing a unity that nobody else really knows about, is just a tremendous blessing.
Absolutely. Well, we will pray for continued blessings on your efforts there at Resurrection, and we'll keep our ears open for new digital side doors you're opening.
So what are we talking about today on the Wells Tech podcast?
Well, we have a Wells Tech friend joining us for an interesting interview. That would be Pastor Peter Hagen. He serves at Redeemer, I believe. And I don't know why I don't have that in front of me of all the things, but I believe it's Redeemer in Maumee, Ohio, which is a suburb of Toledo, I believe. And many Wells Tech listeners will recognize Pastor Hagen's name because he's been on the show before. It was about a year ago when he talked to us about digital back doors, an interesting concept of doing ministry and using different online platforms to do that. And since then, he's been really invested in his Raised with Jesus podcast, and especially doing something special this year around Bible study.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really neat to talk to Peter because he's really taken this podcast thing, by the horns and using some tools very well, not sophisticated tools, but the right tools. And he's got a great voice for podcasts too, which is a big part of it.
So, yeah, we had a chance to sit down with Pastor Hagen and hear about his Bible 100 series and other things that are happening with Raised with Jesus. So we'll play that now.
Joining us on Wells Tech today is Pastor Peter Hagen. He comes from Maumee, Ohio. I learned how to say that correctly. He serves at Resurrection Lutheran Church. Welcome, Pastor Hagen.
Hi, good to be with you today. It's getting into springtime here, even though it's a little overcast, but that's fairly normal, at least here for Ohio.
Very good. Well, we have had the pleasure of talking to you about a year ago on Wells Tech, but maybe you could take a moment and just refresh our listeners. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you serve, family, hobbies, whatever you want to share.
Excellent. Yeah, I've been here for well, it'll be 2 years in June that I will have been at Resurrection here in Maumee, Ohio, and previously served in Fairmount, Minnesota at Shepherd of the Lakes, and then also in downtown Ottawa, Ontario. That kind of walks us backward, I suppose. And we've got, you know, three little boys at home. That kind of, we'll talk about that a little bit as well. We just had a new baby born at the end of February, a little boy.
Congratulations.
And so we've got three little boys plus a Dalmatian puppy, which keeps us hopping all around. And here at Resurrection, it's been just a fantastic fit, I think, at least from my perspective. And we're kind of talking with the other congregations in the area to see how we might do a little bit of cooperative ministry together, or how we might work toward a new mission start in the Toledo area, because there's just always, you know, as with most areas of our country, a ton of mission opportunities if you look in the right place. And so in connection with that, Resurrection, you know, at least during the time that I've been here and the previous pastor had set up a lot of the technology side of things like YouTube live stream and that sort of a thing. But then during the time that I've been here, we've been focusing a little bit more on those, what we call those digital side doors, talking about like social media and online advertising in that regard. And together with that, we started basically a daily podcast called the Raised with Jesus podcast. And kind of the overall idea is that Resurrection, is that through your baptism, you've been baptized into the resurrection of Jesus. So in your baptism, you were baptized and you were raised with Jesus in your baptism. And the hope is that with kind of that Raised with Jesus handle, which we've got on all of our social media, or at least own the rights to on, you know, YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and all those things, then that might provide a potential avenue for, you know, future expansion. If we want to use that digital real estate as kind of a platform for communication across, you know, if God blesses it in such a way that we do have a new mission start in the area, we don't have to come up with like a totally new congregation name. We can just kind of have it all under this umbrella of we've been raised with Jesus, and then kind of communicate in that way. And so that's kind of been the hope. So for about a year and a half now, we've had this daily podcast, you know, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. I will say, you know, in the last little bit since we've had a baby at home, that has thrown a little bit of a curveball into my scheduling, but delightful nonetheless. And all those preparations that we've been making over the last, you know, basically 2 years, as well as the preparations that the previous pastor had made, have also been proven to be, you know, very beneficial during this time of the COVID-19, when we have refrained from meeting together in public worship. That we basically had all the parts in place for continuing worship and continuing to serve our people as best we could, I guess. And so that's most of the background that I've got. As far as the rest of our family, rest of our household, we, you know, just love hanging out with our boys and having a garden in the backyard and put up a fence to keep the dog out. So hopefully it stays around this year.
Thanks for the update, Peter. It's exciting to see this take shape. Let's talk a little bit about the content. So it's your voice. You read a scripture passage and then you have a commentary. Is that typically the format, or do you do other things as well? I noticed that you maybe had some guest presenters or used other syndicated content as well.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. The normal format that we've been working with is like Tuesday through Saturday, or Tuesday through Friday, a daily Baba reading. And then Saturday is like what we call a study Saturday or Saturday study. And that's like some audio from a different source. Like I used President Treptow's sermon from Easter Sunday for one of those study Saturdays, or Jonathan Hine's presentation at the Synod Convention, because then what I've found is, you know, sitting here in front of a computer is really one avenue to kind of consume that content or be interactive and watch it on Vimeo, like with Pastor Hine's presentation at the Synod Convention. But podcasting is a specific niche, as my Canadian friends would say. A specific niche that is rather unique, where I can put the audio from his presentation there, and then people can listen to it on the go, you know, as they're commuting, as they're driving, as they're out for a walk or out for a jog, and then they can also speed it up so that, you know, like most podcast listeners listen to quite a few different podcasts. I think the average is around four or five each. And so most of us who listen to a bunch of different podcasts listen to it at, you know, like double speed. And when you first hear that, it sounds like a chipmunk, but then it gets better and your brain kind of catches up. And so podcasting, together with all that, it provides an avenue for me to, you know, give some Bible reading 4 or 5 days a week, as well as some outside voices. So there's a little bit of variety, but it's not just, well, here's a sermon from Pastor Hagen and then here's a class recording. You get to hear some new voices and hopefully have an interview with Pastor Mike Otterstetter from MLC. I'll have that up probably toward the end of May, middle of May, maybe. So a little bit of variety. But since the beginning of January, we started a Bible 100 challenge, which is, you know, one chapter or a couple of chapters a day for 100 days from January 5th. And then it was scheduled to conclude shortly after Easter. I think I've got probably 6 or 7 of those to finish out. And that has just kind of formed the daily Bible reading selection. And during those 100 days, the intent was to have one reading each of the 100 days and then just supplement with the other recordings as they come up. But with the transition to an online worship format, that slowed things down. But then on the other hand, with so many people looking for an online avenue, since the kind of nationwide shutdown, or at least the refraining from gathering together publicly, our podcast stats have really, really gone up, because it does fill that different niche that people really can't find in the exact same way.
Excellent. So folks are just listening to your podcast and getting this Bible 100 in the mix. Did they have any particular expectations, or is there anything that they were supposed to be doing on the other end of it? Do you have assignments or anything like that? And do you have any idea how many people are participating? Is it just your congregation, or is it broader than that?
That would be a fantastic idea, like include an assignment or something like that. I have asked for, you know, feedback or questions, and haven't gotten a whole lot of feedback, although I have heard from people in basically the four corners of the four borders of our country, from out west and east and down south. I know that there are, I think, 4 different congregations that have joined us in this Bible 100 reading challenge. Cool. And just based on listenership, that kind of is reflected in the number of downloads that we've had, that, you know, we've had, and I've had feedback from, you know, a couple of different people in a couple of different areas. And so for a while, even we were, you know, publishing through the Bread for Beggars page as well. That gave us some good visibility. But then in the last few weeks, they've had so much other really good content that we thought it was best for us to, you know, get the Raised with Jesus podcast out of the way, so we aren't overloading people's news feeds with all this content from Bread for Beggars. And so there haven't been a whole lot of expectations, but I have heard back from a number of different people. And so the way that we kind of format the daily episode is there's a, you know, Bible reading, and then some explanation, like, hopefully as a supplement to what their pastor is already doing. And I mean, pastors I've had a couple of pastor friends of mine encourage their congregations to join in. But then every episode kind of concludes with, what do we take away from this today? Or what can we do about this today? You know, what do we take away from this? Like, who can I pray for? And what can I do about this today? Who can I reach out to? And with this specific word of encouragement. And so in that regard, you know, for the cost and the time that goes into it is fairly minimal once it was all set up. And the return on that is something that I just, you know, leave out to the congregations and the people wherever they happen to be living and the congregations where they happen to be joining in worship.
I will have to say it's very high quality. Maybe we should refresh our memories. What tools are you using, hardware and software? How difficult is it if somebody wanted to get started with something like this on their own?
Yeah, right now I'm using the ATR 2100 microphone by Audio Technica.
Yay.
Yeah, it's proud. Actually, yes. Really good. Mm-hmm. And there's another new podcast microphone on the horizon. If somebody were to get into this and said, you know, they've got $100, the Rodecaster or PodMic, I think it was called, has mm-hmm. had a lot of really good reviews online, especially at the price point. I'm on an Apple device, and so I just use GarageBand together with that. And GarageBand has a couple of presets that you just start with a preset, and then you just kind of tweak with it until it gets the audio sound that you want. And that's been fairly simple. If somebody were on a Windows PC, I know Audacity is free, but if somebody were to upgrade to like Hindenburg or Reaper, that's a fairly minimal cost and usually just a one-time cost between $50 and $100. And the benefit of that upgrade would probably be in ease of use and getting a high quality or better quality product for just a minimal extra learning curve at the beginning. Other than that, I also we publish through Podbean, podbean.com, and they have their own app, which I encourage people to use, because that use of that app gives us a little bit more insight on the statistics side. But for, you know, $8 a month for unlimited audio has worked out really well, and it plays nicely with Spotify and with social media. So I just publish it on Podbean once it's all set, and then it pushes to all the social media outlets that we need. And then ideally, you know, 15 to 20, maybe 25 minutes if I talk a little long each day. And then this podcast episode is available for all of our subscribers and then anybody else who would happen to tune in. And so that's kind of the goal in all this, not just technology for the sake of technology, but technology used in service to our Lord, so that we can make good use of our, you know, good stewardship of our time. And that's the setup that I've had. I know that I'm in a couple of podcasting groups on Facebook, and people just stress about how many hours they put into editing and mm-hmm. and how long between episodes. But if you've got it set up already, the consistently, you know, good quality and consistent publication has really been more beneficial than getting it absolutely perfect and taking out all the ums and ahs kind of a thing.
Martin, you'd have quite a job if you had to take out all my ums and ahs. That would be crippling, I can imagine. Our audio guy would not like that responsibility. Any particular challenges or hurdles you had to overcome? Blessings.
Yeah, blessings and hurdles. It has been encouraging to hear from people from different parts of the country, or to hear how they came across us. But the biggest part there is the encouragement that they derive from this. Like when this whole virus thing really started, I don't know what we're calling it, you know, the Rona. I made a concerted effort to limit all the things that talked about the virus or talked about the fallout from the virus to an episode that was tagged with COVID or a sermon, where the daily Bible reading was kind of a respite from the 24-hour news cycle and from the worry. At the same time, while talking a little bit more generally to, you know, the fear that somebody might have about a particular instance or the worry that might be on their mind, but not making no mention whatsoever of the medical situation going on or the virus or any of that. And that's, I found a number of people wrote in about that they found it encouraging in that regard. And then for as far as people in our congregation, you know, as most congregations in our synod could say, they've got, you know, a number of people who either came to faith later in life or had, you know, grown up in a different faith background, like predominantly Catholic is the area around here, people who grew up with a Catholic background. And for those individuals who, you know, to come and say, you know, Pastor Hagin, I really appreciate going through, you know, from the beginning of the Bible to the end and really discussing each topic or each Bible reading as they come up. If I had to count the number of times somebody said, I finally understood what this part of the Bible was, or that was the first time I heard that story, it's just, that is, that in and of itself is more than enough payment or more than enough return on the time and all the effort that might be going on behind the scenes. As far as other challenges, there haven't been a whole lot aside from scheduling. I know that I try to set up a regular schedule of a daily podcast, and then sometimes life gets in the way. But that's kind of the benefit of technology as well, where, you know, if I'm sick or if I was, you know, unable to be there, I have to be here for worship if we're having physical in-person worship. But if I'm publishing a podcast on a regular basis, then I can record something ahead of time, or, you know, have some other audio that is very encouraging as well, but from a different voice. And a lot of that is available on YouTube or Vimeo, and you can just get some audio from there, and it's worked out really nicely to kind of serve the overall goal of providing an encouraging online location for people to meet Jesus, even if it's, you know, 10 minutes or 20 minutes in a day. And I think that can be accomplished. And that, you know, I leaned a little bit more on some previously recorded things or some outside recordings. But even with that, I got some good feedback that people really enjoyed some of the variety. And I think that's really the bottom line for me, that people might say it in different ways, but they really appreciate being able to take this audio with them wherever they happen to be, and to have a few minutes where the life of Jesus meets theirs in a totally new way.
Well, I think you've achieved some of those, definitely some of those goals, and it's a real comfortable, homey experience, and that's a good thing. It's not preachy in any way. It's really conversational and just a nice experience. One last question. This is Bible 100 series. What happens at 100? What's next?
That's a good question. We've got a couple of things. Did hear from some people that they wanted to learn more about the minor prophets, and I kind of chuckled at that one. Our Friday afternoon Bible class here at Resurrection last fall, I asked them what they wanted to do next, and one of the ladies said, well, I want to read the minor prophets. And I just kind of looked around at everybody else. All right, any other suggestions? Anybody? No. But we're gonna look at some of the minor prophets and probably intersperse it with something from the New Testament, because with the Bible 100, we just took, you know, between one and four chapters in a day, sometimes only half a chapter. And so we skipped over a lot of the major themes and a lot of the major ideas. And so we'll probably look at some minor prophets and their connection to the New Testament, especially if that prophet happens to be quoted in the New Testament. And then more broadly, I guess, Jim Berenger and has been talking with me a little bit about using the podcast equipment that we have here, or the setup that I've got, and kind of that experience, I suppose, is kind of the big thing, because you hear a world of difference between your first episode and your 500th episode. And to use some of that to do some recording on behalf of our synod, like recording some introductions for ministry to the deaf and the hard of hearing, or the Wells Special Ministries audio recordings. So we're going to get into that a little bit. And then just last month, I finally finished a book for Audible by Mark Cares, the book that he had written, I don't know, probably 3 years ago, called God, the Ultimate Humanitarian. And hopefully, if the schedules all line up properly and if they're okay with a little bit of a delay on occasion, I'll be doing a little bit of recording for that sort of thing as well. It's kind of wait and see. It's just, how can I make the best use with the talent that we've got and with the investment of time and with the investment in the equipment that we've got to turn that around, to reach as many people as we can with the word of our Lord.
Excellent. Well, we wish you God's blessings on all that and, stay connected to Wells Tech, and maybe within a year or so we'll be circling back to hear how it's going and how those efforts are developing further after Bible 100. That's wonderful. We also wish you God's blessings in that house with three little boys and not being able to get them out. Oh, and a puppy, a Dalmatian. So sounds like a fun experience.
It is. And they are just absolutely delightful. Having raised children, I'm sure each of you yourself, you can kind of look back at those times and say they were busy, but you wouldn't trade the time for anything in the world.
Makes you smile. Yep.
Definitely.
Thank you, Peter, for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Peter, for taking some time out of your schedule and sharing some of your insights and your podcasting experiences. Kind of a neat story, Sally, where somebody who started at it fresh just figured out what kind of content to produce, figured out the technical aspect, and kept it going. That's part of the plan as well, is to figure out how to keep it going, even though we've got some different and some somewhat challenging circumstances. He's figured out how to make this thing go.
Yeah, I was particularly impressed that he doesn't have to be the voice behind the podcast for everything. He's found ways to integrate other content into his podcast, which sounds like it's been really well received. And I think a really wise move from someone who's been podcasting for a little while. It does take a lot of work to sustain a podcast over time. And I think he's hit on a good combination to integrate some of the other content into his podcast. So wise move on his part.
Yeah, one of the things that you get the sense that he that helped him was to pay attention to what was out there. So not only just content, but style, tone, frequency. And then he kind of tweaked his own that made it work for him. And you can tell that he's found a kind of a good place, a good middle ground that he's comfortable with, and that I think has resulted in a growing audience, which obviously you podcast so that people listen. So that's part of the plan.
Yeah, definitely. Frequency is a big thing, and to, be consistent with it can be a bit of a challenge. And so hats off to him for doing it
especially because he's doing it on his own. It's a little bit easier maybe for us because we kind of keep each other accountable. It's on the calendar and we push each other a little bit, and we know we have a regular schedule. But if you're just kind of sitting there in your office by yourself, not as much other than your listenership, saying, give us more.
But he does take advantage of things that he's producing for in-person teaching as well. Or maybe he extends like his Bible class and things like that. So he has the in-person teaching, or these days, digital teaching over whatever mechanism. But then he's adding to that and making use of that same study materials to supplement the podcast.
Right. I think he looks at what he does from a couple different perspectives. So, every pastor is preaching sermons and doing Bible study, but now with an opportunity to get a little bit wider audience and share God's word a little bit more broadly, you're thinking about recording and distribution and maybe even producing the content in a way that is deliverable in more than just one fashion. In Bible study, for instance, if we go back to normal and you want to maybe continue to broadcast or share your Bible study beyond the people that are in the room, then there are different considerations for that. Obviously, capturing your sound, but then also capturing feedback and other things that are coming from the audience that make it a little bit richer experience, which you can do if you're in Zoom or something where you're recording everybody, but it becomes a little bit different scenario and maybe a little bit more challenging if you want to continue to take that analog experience and still make it digital.
So a good idea is to start somewhere, but then as you grow and mature and get more adept at different software solutions or different hardware that you need to have in place to capture all those different angles of the conversation or whatever, then your podcast can grow with you. You know, don't be afraid of the big picture, just maybe get started and do it consistently and then grow over time, which I think is what we see Pastor Hagen being very successful doing.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be a whole different thing. It can just be another channel through which you push the same content you're already creating on a regular basis. I think that's what maybe this these times have showed people, that there are different ways to get these words captured and out to your audience. So one of the things that it really impressed me, as you mentioned it earlier, was just kind of a dedicated approach to scheduling content, going out looking for good content, syndicating and going out and getting permission to replay that content and then sharing that. There's no rule that says, and we're certainly aware of this, that we only share original content. That's why we have people come on and talk to us and give us their ideas, and we solicit that you know, there's nothing wrong with that. If you have an audience and you find other content that you think they'd be interested in, just because you didn't create it doesn't mean that you can't re-syndicate or syndicate it and get that out to your people.
Definitely. So yeah, anybody that wants to make use of all the great Wells Tech content we have out there, you know, just get in touch with us. We'd be happy to let you share it on your own podcast. No problem.
Right. Well, blessings, Peter, on your work there, your podcast, and your continuing ministry now and in the future. And, you know, we'll circle back around again with him to see how it's going. It seems like he's whet his appetite, and the audience is eager to have the content that he's sharing. So, yep, that's a good thing. So thanks again.